In today's gospel, Christ teaches that people from all nations will enter the narrow gates of the kingdom. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There is an interesting little story told about this very wealthy woman, lived in a small town, and she was admired because of her wealth and respected because of her wealth, but not very well liked in some ways. She lived a very self-centered life. For example, every once in a while she'd get a request to give to one charity or another, and she'd always give a little something, based on what she had, really. And she did it mostly for the glamour, I suppose you could say, of seeing her name on the donor list, right? Well, anyway, as I say, she lived a rather selfish life. She dies. She gets to the pearly gates, and she had never lived a life that was terribly evil, so to speak, so she's admitted into heaven. But St. Peter says, "Well, I'm going to bring you to where you're going to live up here for all eternity." So he's bringing her down the streets of heaven, and you know, she's passing all these magnificent mansions. Remember, Jesus says in the Gospel of St. John, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." She's going down all these beautiful mansions, magnificent places. She's wondering, "I wonder which one of those is mine." Well, they keep going, they keep going. Finally, they're coming to kind of the outskirts of heaven. And he says, "Well, here we are," Peter says. She looks and she sees there a little tar paper shack, a little tar paper shack. She says, "That's mine?" He said, "Yeah, that's yours." She said, what do you mean that's mine? I can't live there." "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I'm sorry, but that's the best we could build with the materials you sent up to us." You get the point, huh? With what her life produced, that's the best they could build for her. I think that's a wonderful little example of what Jesus is saying in the gospel today. He says there are some who are first in this world who will be last in the kingdom of heaven. There are some who are last in this world who will be first in the kingdom of heaven. Now, isn't it true, you know, that every once in a while we see these lists of surveys of most admired people in America? And you know, even before one of those lists come out, you or I could pretty much know who was going to be on it, wouldn't we? Sports stars, entertainment stars, maybe a few people who are in civic life. people who are big owners of big companies. Those are the names we always find on those lists because they've accomplished something that we consider valuable. But here's the question. Where do those people rank in the kingdom of heaven? Where do they rank in the kingdom of heaven? They may be first in this world, but are they first in the kingdom of heaven? Some of them might be, but some of them might not be too. Let me give you the example of what it means, I think, to be first in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to change the names of these people I'm going to talk to you about. These are real people. Not that you necessarily know them, but just in case. There's a woman I know named Genevieve, 60 years old. She's a widow. She takes care of her 80-year-old mother, who lives with her. Now, as you, some of you, I'm sure, well know from your own experience, 80-year-old people who have medical issues can be a real challenge. Genevieve takes care of her mother faithfully every single day, while at the same time having a very painful circulation problem in one of her legs. They can't do much about it, so she lives with this pain, significant pain, every day. Besides that, Genevieve is the sacristan of the little parish church in the town. Every single day, rain or shine, she's there, setting up for the Mass in the morning, making everything sure everything's all set. Whenever there's a wedding or a funeral, she's there getting everything ready. She cleans all the linen. She cleans the church. There's Genevieve. Her picture's never going to be on the cover of Time magazine. But is she one of those who are first in the kingdom of heaven? Then there's Alma and Bill. Several years ago, they had two children. One was, I think, a freshman in high school. One was like a seventh grader. And one night they were watching television. And a program was on the orphans of Native American people, Native Americans who children that are orphaned, and how difficult that was. And they were very moved by this. And they decided, after some period of reflection, they were going to adopt a Native American child, a Native American orphan. So they went through all the arrangements and so forth. And as they were getting close to the adoption date, they were notified that the little boy that was going to be theirs had a little brother as well. So they adopted both of them. Now, again, Alma and Bill are not considered great successes in the eyes of the world, but how does God look at them? See, that's what it means. Those kinds of things are what it means when Jesus says today that we have to enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. That's what makes us great, makes us first in the kingdom. What is the narrow gate? I'd like to suggest to you that the narrow gate means being willing to go against the grain of the world, to go against what the world considers a normal way of acting, go against the grain. For example, to enter by the narrow gate means that you'll turn the other cheek rather than seek to make things even, to get even with somebody. It means that you will give rather than take. It means that you will listen rather than talk. It means that you will serve rather than seeking to be served. It means that you will be grateful for all you have rather than thinking you deserve all you have. It means that you will live selflessly rather than selfishly. That's what it means to enter by the narrow gate. And when you do that, you're great in the kingdom of heaven. irregardless of what the world thinks of you or me. Let me conclude with one other little example. Peter was an eighth grade boy, very popular with his classmates, an athlete, a fine-looking young man, good student, had a group of friends, you know, a large group of friends, and every day at school, at lunch, he and many of his friends would sit at the same table in the lunchroom. Sound familiar to you kids? Get together at lunch with your friends, right? Well, anyway, about halfway through the school year, another boy comes into the school, a boy named Ronnie. Now, Ronnie had some learning disabilities, and he was socially challenged. But he'd been in a special school, but now it was time for him to move into the mainstream. So he was coming to this school. Well, the first day at lunch, Ronnie comes down, he looks around, he goes over to the far corner of the lunchroom, and he sits down on the floor in the corner and opens up his lunch bag and eats. Second day, he does the same thing. Goes to the corner, sits on the floor, opens his bag. This goes on for a couple of weeks. So the kids are now beginning to see he's strange, you know. He's starting to make fun of him. So one day, the same thing. He goes off to the corner. But that day, something special happens. Peter stands up. Goes over to the corner. He looks down at Ronnie. He says, "Ronnie, come sit at my table. Come eat with us." So Ronnie looks at him. He gets up and goes with him. Sits down at the table. Eats with him. Every day after that, Ronnie's sitting there at that table, eating with the kids, the other kids. Because of Peter, Ronnie finds a place. Because of Peter, Ronnie finds a place. See, that's what it means to enter by the narrow gate. That's what it means to be first in the kingdom of God. You and I should rejoice today, because that's all possible for us. It's all possible for us. In fact, for most of us, that's the way we live. That's the way we live. We try to anyway. That's why today, as we gather here, we can rejoice. Because like Genevieve, and like Alma and Bill, and like Peter, if we continue to live that way, even going against the grain of the world, then you and I will be first in the kingdom of God. May God bless you.